Friends, as you're well aware, we seem to find ourselves in a rather unusual situation. Our classes have been moved online, and we're all doing what we can to mitigate the spread of this pandemic and to follow the news that seems to be changing daily, if not hourly. And yet, though our situation is unusual, it's not unprecedented. I'm reminded of a famous sermon that C.S. Lewis preached in 1939, Learning in Wartime. I'll include a link to this sermon, and I'd encourage you to read the whole thing. But for now, I want to reflect briefly on what relevance it might have for our particular circumstances. Lewis preached this sermon to students at Oxford a month after the Nazis invaded Poland. All of his students knew that a devastating war was imminent. And yet here they were, in Oxford, preparing for a year of study. Even as all hell was breaking loose and their normal lives were being upended, Lewis tells them that, quote, the war creates no absolutely new situation. That's a remarkable quote, right? If this is true, then learning in the midst of a pandemic, then doing college through books and podcasts and video chats, also creates no absolutely new situation. What is it then about the permanent human condition that a war or a pandemic reveals? Well, as Lewis points out, we all live always on the brink of hell. And so, he tells his audience, every Christian who comes to a university must at all times face a question compared with which the questions raised by the war, and I might add, the questions raised by the coronavirus pandemic, are relatively unimportant. He must ask himself how it is right, or even psychologically possible, for creatures who are every moment advancing either to heaven or to hell, to spend any fraction of the little time allowed them in this world on such comparative trivialities as literature or art, mathematics or biology. If human culture can stand up to that, it can stand up to anything. So Lewis goes on. We have always to answer the question, how can you be so frivolous and selfish as to think about anything but the salvation of human souls? And we have at the moment to answer the additional question, how can you be so frivolous and selfish as to think of anything but the war? Or again for us, the coronavirus. As Lewis goes on to try to answer these questions, one of his key points is that our lives can never be exclusively focused on such crises. Lewis describes how when he was a soldier in the First World War, much of his time was spent in doing ordinary things, even when he was near the front lines. As he puts it, you are not, in fact, going to read nothing, either in the church or in the line. If you don't read good books, you will read bad ones. If you don't go on thinking rationally, you will think irrationally. If you reject aesthetic satisfactions, you will fall into sensual satisfactions. If Lewis were addressing us today, he might remind us that if we don't study and write papers and listen to lectures, we will binge on Netflix or scroll through social media or stockpile toilet paper. And indeed, reading your textbooks seems to be a better way to spend your time and attention. Lewis also points out that even absolute duties, like those enjoined by the Christian faith, don't exclude all other activities. He gives the analogy of a person who lives on a dangerous seacoast. Such people may indeed have a duty to learn how to save shipwrecked sailors, and they may need to be prepared to lose their life in so doing, but they would be crazy to spend all their time just sitting around waiting for someone to rescue. As he puts it, the rescue of drowning men is, then, a duty worth dying for, but not worth living for. Similarly, even our duties to love our neighbors during this time don't exclude our other duties to activities such as learning. Now, certainly learning is not the only worthwhile activity during this time. Doctors and nurses, public officials and researchers, grocery store workers and factory workers all have important duties. But Lewis points out that our particular circumstances are a good index of where our duties lie. As he puts it, if our parents have sent us to Oxford, if our country allows us to remain there, this is prima facie evidence that the life which we, at any rate, can best lead to the glory of God at present is the learned life. So if you're enrolled in classes and sitting in a half-empty dorm or in your bedroom at your parents' house, it seems that you too may be called to a season of study. Lewis goes on to list several particular goods that are intrinsic to intellectual labor. One that's especially relevant, I think, is that such labor can provide an intimate knowledge of the past. In this moment, incredible attention is being paid to what is happening around the world right now. And studying the art and theology and writing the past can give us a much needed perspective. As Lewis concludes, a scholar who has lived in many times and is therefore in some degree immune from the great cataract of nonsense that pours from the press and the microphone of his own age. Lewis concludes his sermon with two bits of pastoral advice. The first is that there may be an almost comic discrepancy between all these highfalutin ideas and the task of reading Dante tonight or studying for your midterms. Yet this gap exists in all great endeavors. If you want to accomplish something truly worthy, you have to do the nitty-gritty work. If you want to build a cathedral, you have to put one stone on top of another, day after day after day. His second piece of advice is psychological. It's incredibly difficult to focus on our studies when news of the war, or in our case, news of the virus's spread, clamors for our attention. And this can undo excitement, frustration, or fear. I'm sure that many of you are indeed anxious and worried about your health, the health of your loved ones, and about how this disruption may be affecting your finances or education. You're worried about the events or experiences that you're missing out on now. And these anxieties are all perfectly understandable. But perhaps, giving your attention, at least as much as you're able, to your studies will be one way of muting these fears. Friends, you will never forget this semester. I know I won't. And I hope that when we look back on these days and weeks, we will recall hours well spent. C.S. Lewis could urge his students to study for the glory of God while World War II was breaking out. We too can study for the glory of God in the midst of this pandemic and the disruptions that it is causing. In a recent interview, one of my intellectual heroes, Wendell Berry, responds to a question about climate change and fears of an impending climate apocalypse by pointing to the example of the Shakers. He says, "It was the Shakers who were sure the end could come any time, and they still saved the seeds and figured out how to make better diets for old people." Thomas Merton was interested in the Shakers, and I said to him, "If they were certain that the world could end at any minute, how come they built the best building in Kentucky?" "You don't understand," Merton replied. "If you know the world could end at any minute, you know there's no need to hurry. You take your time and do the best work you possibly can." I don't think the coronavirus signals the end of the world, but as Christians, we know that Christ could return at any moment. And because we have confidence that one day he will return to redeem and restore all that sin and death have marred, we can afford to take our time and do the best work we possibly can. Study well, friends.